I don't know if this has happened to you before, but it certainly has happened to me, that they ask you the question, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Ever happened to anyone? Like someone at work comes and is very zealous about the faith and says to you, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Sometimes strangers come to the door and they knock, right? Or sometimes at the grocery store, people get you into this conversation, and that one crucial question, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Now, most Catholics, what are they bound to say? Well, yes. What do you mean? You know? It is also common, though, that if you ask the Catholic to actually give a testimony of that faith, sometimes they get tongue-tied. Not because they have not accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, but sometimes they have not reflected upon it deeply enough to bear testimony. Not that Catholics do not have their strength. The strength of the evangelical Christians particularly is that you cannot stop them from talking about their personal relationship with God. The strength of the Catholics is our deep sense of community. We are this people, this mass of people that's moving together, as it were, toward our salvation. But I'm wondering if as Catholics we should focus a little more on what we call this one-on-one, this personal relationship with God. The last imagery that I gave of Catholics moving together as a community for the salvation, very surely and very firmly, yet moving together, reminds me of the people of Israel in today's first reading. They were just getting out of Egypt with some terrific experiences. They had heard the voice of God through Moses. They knew the will of God for them as they set out into the desert. They had seen the mighty works of God in favor of their liberation. Yet, on a day that they got desperately thirsty, they were ready to abandon their faith in God. They were ready to defy their God. They were even willing to trade their freedom. My question is this: were they really that fickle? What happened, especially when they saw these mighty works, and I'm sure they remembered, how is it possible that this mighty group of people, this mass of people, together were ready to abandon their God? I will answer this question in my practical implication, but keep that question in the back of your mind. On the other hand, in the gospel reading, we have the Samaritan woman. No other passage in the entire scripture devotes so much time to one relationship. That's a long gospel reading. I'm sure at the end of it all you said, when is this going to end? But it's good. Why does the author take so much time, give so much detail about God's, Christ's relationship with one person? This woman is not ignorant, the Samaritan woman. She's very well versed in religion and politics. She's able to have a conversation. Yet, what transforms her is her personal encounter with Jesus. You might be able to say, on that day, she accepted Jesus as her personal Lord and Savior. The words that Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman, hear this. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water shall become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. In other words, on a personal, one-on-one, individual level, Jesus was offering this woman a deep experience of God. And what does that experience look like? As if there is an unending spring within the person's heart that's constantly welling up. St. Paul in today's second reading says about that experience, he said, God's love has been just poured into our hearts, not drop by drop given as of charity. No, God's love, God's personal life has been poured into our hearts. Let me offer 3 points for us to think about, what I call the 3 practical implications for today. My dear friends, it is not uncommon for people to read the story of the Samaritan woman, for example, or other similar stories, and say to ourselves, that's a good story. Very important morals and very important lessons, but most of the time it's a story that happened 2,000 years back, right? It tells us something about Jesus and the woman and gives us some morals. However, the more discerning reader knows that this story is not merely the story of the Samaritan woman. This story is a story of the search of every human being for God. This story is a story of every human person looking for meaning and purpose. This story is a story of every person who feels lost. This story, the story of every person who craves for God. This story is a story of every person searching for redemption. This story is your story and mine. Not as a community alone, but as individuals. And so I'm proposing that go back home and pick up your Bible to John chapter 4, that is the story of the Samaritan woman. And ask yourself, who am I in this story? What part of the story connects with me? What is Jesus offering me? On a one-to-one personal level, of course we have Jesus today in the Eucharist as Catholics, as a community, great. But to me, what is God offering to me today? If you were talking to God like the Samaritan woman, what would the conversation look like? What would you say? This is the first question. I raised a question earlier. How come this group of people, the Israelites, after their fabulous experience of God and after the display of God's power, how were they able to abandon God in a moment? I was wondering, would it be fair to say that even though they had a great experience of God as a community, they hadn't had the time to build their relationship with God on a one-to-one level, like Moses had. See, Moses saw the burning bush. He had a great experience. He walked back through the desert into Egypt. He had the time to think about it. These people did not. So the crucial difference between Moses and the people is people haven't taken this experience and made it their own. It hasn't become personal to them yet. They haven't answered the question, have you accepted Yahweh as your personal God and Savior? And so I'm suggesting not only read the sermon, the story of the Samaritan woman, but this week go back home and ask yourself the question, if someone asked me to give my testimony, if someone said to me today, really, is Jesus your personal Lord and Savior? Tell me about it. Prepare your testimony. Write it down if it helps you. It's a hard but very fruitful spiritual experience. Take the time to think about your personal relationship with God so that you can bear testimony. Now, my third point. One of the best parts of the Samaritan woman's story is that at the end of the story, she's not just a Samaritan woman. She's not merely a woman at the well. This woman becomes a disciple. She goes and tells this whole village about, could this be the Messiah? And the entire village comes to him and they say, we now believe that this truly is a Son of God. Why? Because of the testimony of one woman. If for nothing else sake, my dear friends, for the sake of evangelization, pay attention to your relationship with God and your testimony. You cannot give to people what you do not have yourself. You cannot share with others if God within you is not a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So let me say this in conclusion. We are present here this morning not merely as a community. We are, yes, we are the Catholic community that has come to worship this God who gives us living water, and not just living water, but the body and the blood of Christ. We are here as a community, but we are also here as individuals, both. When Christ gives his body and blood to us today, receive it both as a community and as an individual disciple saying to Christ, yes, God, truly I believe that you are the Savior of the world and my Savior. People of God said,